Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. This is Ava Muhammad. Welcome back to Elevated Places. We are living in such an exciting time, and I feel so blessed to be with you again this evening. This is the sixth day of February, 2014, and as our announcer, Brother Bobby Muhammad, indicated, we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. We are also, of course, so pleased and honored to be streaming live on WKBOL 100.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa. KBOL also carries the Time and What Must Be Done series by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and invite you to hear Torchlight with Brother Michael Muhammad hosting on Fridays at 11:30 a.m. Central, 12:30 Eastern. And, of course, it is such a great opportunity to be able to host Elevated Places live every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern, on the Talk of Chicago, the legendary WVON radio, 1690 a.m. on your dial. And we stream live on WVON.com, or you can download the iHeart app free and get WVON whenever you wish. And finally, follow me on Twitter at Dr. Ava Muhammad, so that I can read your comments and engage with you. And, of course, going into our fourth year on the air on Blog Talk, Elevated Places continues to be the place to be. It is where we discuss freedom, justice, equality, and that includes economic independence and self-determination for the 40-plus million descendants of slaves here in North America. And we invite any and everyone who logs in or listens in to participate. And so you can call us at 347-324-5091. That's 347-324-5091. And as we move into tonight's program, which is guaranteed to be informative and empowering, I want to, of course, say to you that we are 2 weeks from tonight, the launch of Savior's Day 2014 in Detroit, Michigan. And that's I am right. Pleased to be joined, just about to mention my brothers. I'm so pleased to have on the line my beloved brothers, co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and our Elevated Places analyst and contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And so happy Savior's Day to you both. We're right there. Countdown.
Happy Savior's Day to you.
All right.
Assalamu
alaikum. Alaikum salam. And, of course, excitement is growing and growing. And I was just in Detroit this weekend. But I want to give the mic over to Brother Terrence to initiate our discussion on the update, and then we will take it from there. And we expect to be joined shortly by one of our favorite guests on Elevated Places, who's taking time from a super busy schedule and will be joining us shortly. But Brother Terrence, go right ahead, beloved.
Well, you know, we have a lot to cover tonight, so we're going to make this quick, but we want to make sure that the Twitter army is in full effect this Saturday. We want to make sure that everyone in our listening audience, registered or unregistered, all across the world, because this is the World Wide Web, and we are live on the Internet, and we want to make sure that you tune in for the last episode of The Time and What Must Be Done. You do not want to miss it, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked last week about the shadow government. So go to NOI.org, and you want to make sure that you listen at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, NOI.org, The Time and What Must Be Done. I already know it is going to be, as we say, off the chain. There's nothing else that needs to be going on at that time, so make sure that you tune in this Saturday for that last episode. Also, as Dr. Ava said, we're 2 weeks out from the historic, monumental crowning event of Black History Month, Saviors Day in Detroit. You want to also go to NOI.org, look at the powerful schedule. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, but you definitely want to be there. But I got a surprise for you all. I got to let it, Sister Ava, I can't hold it no more. I got to let it out the bag. I got to tell them there is going to be a special documentary of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm talking about, this documentary is off the chain. I had a special viewing. Security for the viewing was off the chain. You couldn't bring in no phones, no video recording, but he's allowing everybody that comes to Saviors Day to see this documentary in his own words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his work and his mission. I saw Busta Rhymes in this documentary. I saw Stevie Wonder, Chaka Khan in this documentary. I saw the everybody was in this documentary. So if you haven't seen it, come to Saviors Day. It is going to be off the chain. I think the minister may have tweeted out, but just come to Saviors Day and check it out. Also, we want to make sure that we keep people in our prayers, because we know the minister has told us and has warned us to watch the weather. And as we see, the weather is very tragic, and snowing and vortex and everything is going on. So we want to be mindful, because early this week on Monday, or of last week, the presidential address said climate change was a fact. And I know people was protesting on Monday, but we know that the Lord of the world controls weather, and we need to be mindful and watchful of the time. We are in Black History Month, which kicked off this past Saturday. And this past Saturday, the Antifa, or the Woolworth freshman that sat in Woolworth in 1960, was celebrated. And our brother Quincy Jones was there giving him some good words. But as we're going into this Black History Month, and I say that because we need to know our real history and the real things that happened, and people are posting on Facebook, you know, our history started before slavery. So it's upon us to know our history and give the teachings to our children. As I want to give a shout out to my brother Umar Johnson, black psychologist, who will be talking about the school to prison pipeline. He's on tour going across the country. But we actually had a lecture last night with some students at North Carolina A&T, and some of the slides, we had a slideshow going, and some of the slides that was going was the minister at the Million Man March, Dr. Khaled, Muhammad Ali with the message to the black man in his hand, Malcolm X, and one student also said she went to Tuskegee to the student conference. So the words of Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan are reaching our students, and Minister Farrakhan's name kept coming up. The teachers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad kept coming up. So I just want to say that for the enemy, that you're not stopping from Minister Farrakhan to getting to the students on these black college campuses. And as I get ready to start winding it down and wrapping it up, we have heard that Zimmerman has been offered a celebrity boxing match to fight against DMX. You know, somebody posted on Facebook he should be fighting Tracy Martin in that ring, but there's a protest going because they don't want Zimmerman to make any money from this fight. And on Global Grind, Russell Simmons' website, DMX said that if Zimmerman, or he does fight him, then he wants Zimmerman to give all his money to charity, but they don't want this fight, and he's not a celebrity. We know him as a murderer, and they announced this boxing match on yesterday on the day of Trayvon Martin's birthday, who would have been 19 years old. Mm-hmm. So We will be listening and watching for that. People will make money off anything, as we saw the flyers during Martin Luther King celebration, twerking parties with Martin Luther King on the flyer. So we have to make sure that people come to Save His Day so we can get our mind right and get our head right. And also, don't forget, as the minister said, the powerful, powerful, powerful workshops that will be going on that we're going to discuss tonight at Save His Day. But also, we're going to have some good entertainment. I know AK-47, you know, and 47 Stories Muhammad, they're going to be dropping a new album. My brother Jasiriet Snell is in Pittsburgh with a great super producer, Knife Wonder. I hope he gets him to come to Save His Day. So we want to make sure that everybody, 2 weeks out, get your tickets, get your plane ticket, get your shoes, get your gas up to come on up to Detroit for Savior's Day. And, oh, I almost forgot. Just as you said, you were just in Detroit, Dr. Ava. This Sunday, you can check out Dr. Ava live and direct at Mas Mariam. So you can also go to NOI.org at 11 p.m. Eastern, a.m. Eastern, and 10 a.m. Central. See her at Mas Mariam, will be in the keynote address, and we already know it's going to be fire. So let me turn it right back over to you so we can get right into the show, Elevated Places.
All right. Well, this is an exciting evening, and we are expecting to be joined shortly by one of the stars of the Nation of Islam with a special expertise in that which we are engaged, which is land acquisition and development. We are moving past theory into practical application. Just want to say, and of course, Dr. Ridgely, we need to hear from you as well before we get deeper into the conversation. I know you always have an observation as our analyst.
Well, yes, I do have an observation.
I know you do.
Well, you know, and the enemy tries to distract people from what's important and hide what is important. Because we had that Super Bowl this past Sunday, which was very exciting for black people and very boring for white people. But at the end of the game, the MVP, Malcolm Smith, had a press interview. Mm-hmm. And it was hardly anybody there. But this guy named Matthew Mills walked in, picked up the mic, and in 11 words, he said, 911 needs to be investigated. It was perpetrated by people in our government. He dropped the mic and walked off.
That's right.
Now, what's interesting about that, he got almost 2 million hits on the Internet. On YouTube, somebody put up on YouTube, he got almost 2 million hits before they took it down. They took it down. Now, the guy, he walked off, and they picked him up later for trespassing. There was no security. All the security thing, they had planes, helicopters, and all this, and there was no security. Now, we're going to do an article on that, me and another brother, and Brother Tingba. And what was interesting is I said, you know, if Peyton Manning had won, there would have been a whole lot of security around Peyton Manning, and this guy Matthew Mills would not have been able to get that mic and talk about 911, which is most important for us as Muslims, because no matter how much we try to get to our people, some of our people are afraid to get close to us because of 911. Because America has placed this heinous crime that insiders and Israel did to the American people on Muslims. So they're afraid of us, and we as Muslims are going to have to defend ourselves and prove that 911 was an inside job along with the Israelis. They had nothing to do with us. But anyway, this guy put that out, and now there's a lot of discussion on the Internet back up again about 911. And the most important thing that people bring up, no matter what you want to argue about, is that building number 7 was not hit by a plane. And building number 7 went down in its own footprint at 5:20 p.m. on 911, just like the other two buildings. Therefore, it was imploded. Therefore, the other two must have been imploded. Therefore, it was an inside job. So that was a very important thing that happened on Super Bowl weekend that the media tries to hide.
That's an excellent point, particularly in the wake of the minister's episode on the time and what must be done on the shadow government and the withholding of the identity of the great will known as the mother plane, because everybody has seen it. So you can't deny it exists. So since they can't deny its existence, they have attempted to provide a narrative to explain it.
Right.
And that is this concept of something from outer space that is alien, when in fact this great, magnificent weapon, the most expensive, most advanced weaponry ever built, not in the history of America, but in the history of the universe.
That's all right.
And so that's being withheld from the people. And as you just pointed out, Dr. Ridge, you see the exposure just of the thought to an audience of 100 million people.
That's right. And see,
because everybody was still tuned in because of the shock of the demolition, the obliteration of Peyton Manning, the Great White Hope, and the Denver Broncos.
That's right.
By a team of young black men in dreadlocks, Stanford graduate as a cornerback. Most of the team, you have a brother on the team who is deaf, D-E-A-F, all right, who was turned down by everybody, and the Seahawks picked him up. I told my husband, I said, the Seahawks coach is like the Father Flager of the NFL. He's a very spiritual man. He also has said that 9/11 was an inside job. But he talks about the whole person, the bonding of that team. And when you look at the way they just completely and effortlessly destroyed the Broncos and did it in a way, Richard Sherman said, they didn't even utilize all of their plays.
Right. And he also said that they were playing checkers while we were playing chess. In other words, they was outsmarting Peyton Manning. And I saw an interview. They did interview Peyton Manning at the end of the show. They did have police around him, even though he was a loser. And he was broke down. I mean, he was broke. They broke this man's heart. Because
it
they outplayed him in the head. And that's the one thing that the white folks want to hold on to, is that they are smarter. Well, this time they got outsmarted by a pack of black men who were also tough.
Come on.
And young, super young. And bonded brothers to one another. See, they played as a team, and what they did is white folks' worst nightmare. The reason they don't want us to integrate any arena, and of course, you know, now we're moving into the era, though all of this is about done, but for now we're in the era of the black quarterback. You know, this was something that was always resisted. And of course, we're at the point now where you're going to have no hope of even getting in the playoffs if you don't follow the program and get with the program. Just as Jackie Robinson introduced base stealing to Major League Baseball, it was never done like he did it. A couple of white boys tried it here and there, Ty Cobb and a few white boys. But Jackie Robinson redefined baseball with the base stealing. Willie Mays introduced speed to baseball.
Yes.
Willie Mays caught hits that before his entry into Major League Baseball were guaranteed home runs. This brother would jump up in the air, you know, like an airplane, and snatch home runs out of the sky. All right, and so now the Seahawks have redefined football. The speed and the beauty that they played with was just incredible.
Well, you know, I saw this brother who was over the center, defender over the center. He's 92. He's huge. He was first pushing up to try to get to Peyton in the middle. Peyton threw a ball out to the side to a halfback. He turned and ran down the halfback. This dude was over 300 and something pounds. You can't do that. Okay? That's physically impossible for somebody that big to run down a halfback. So now the game has changed. You got to have somebody.
It's been redefined.
It's been redefined. These dudes are big, fast, and smart. So, yeah,
that's
you're going
right.
to have to redo this thing. We just going to take this over.
Yeah, nothing worked, as is always the case, as is with the case with Minister Farrakhan. They don't have a playbook for Farrakhan. They can't calculate how to defeat Farrakhan.
Right.
And so that's what the Super Bowl was a precursor of what
that's
is
right.
coming down, because we are at the end of the white man's rule. And so anytime
right.
you see a black man, and that's what we all witnessed, 100 million people, we all saw it Sunday night, when you get black men who know who they are, when they accept
right.
their own and they are happy to be themselves, they will absolutely obliterate any opposition. And that is what the minister is saying about the mothership, which is the physical manifestation of the spiritual superiority,
right.
the intellectual superiority.
That's right.
And like you said, Dr. Rizzi, things were done Sunday night that can't be done
that's right.
in football.
That's
but
right.
anyway,
you know,
we're all out there. So,
with the minister
yes,
for talking about, he said in a previous lecture, he said, what are they afraid of? Talking
yes.
about the United States. What are you afraid of? You got weapons, you can beat everybody, but they are afraid of that plane, and this is why they took those buildings down. This is why they blew up their own buildings, because they needed to get the people afraid of the Muslims so they could continue to sap money from the people for the black budget operations that the minister talked about last Saturday. The black
yes.
budget is to build weapons to fight against God, Master Farad
that's
Muhammad.
Right.
But they can't
that's
tell
right.
the people that that's what they're doing, so they're causing problems for their own selves to get the people afraid so they'll continue to give them money so they can build a weapon to fight God with.
That's right. Mm. And so this is why, whatever it takes, let's be in Detroit. On,
that's right.
Sunday, the 23rd of February. In fact, be there Thursday night, the 20th, so that you can be part of the live studio audience as we discuss on the Elevated Places Muhammad's economic blueprint for ending poverty and want. And the theme of this show is going to be the economic blueprint and our survival, because the minister's message, which will the Savior's Day weekend will culminate in, is how strong is our foundation? Can we survive? And, brothers, I was blessed to do a walkthrough of the COBO Convention Center. It is fabulous. It it's just such a physical reflection of what we are attempting to convey to our people. We need a new visual. Just
right.
like these brothers gave us a new visual of football. And, you know, Dr. Ridge, I just said last week, remember, I don't even watch football. I watch basketball and baseball. And I watched that game from the beginning to the end. Never understood football my entire life. My husband had to explain one or two things, and I became a connoisseur. I became an expert. Because interest, attention to something. This is why the educational system can't hold our children. They're not
That's
talking
right.
about anything that anybody cares
right.
about. It's all history. It's everything in this white man's world has been shown incapable of solving any problem. The mother's
right.
plane, the great will, it is a solution to a problem.
That's right.
And so everything we do at Savior's Day, right down the line in the workshops, will be solution-oriented. And we're going to be going to the phone shortly. We got callers lining up. We're waiting the arrival of our guests. But in the meantime, we're going to have some workshops. I'll give you a few of them. Big, important thing that we want to participate in, the Detroit Neighborhood Development and Revitalization. And that workshop, of course, which will be headed by Brother Kamal Muhammad and Sister Letitia Muhammad, who were our guests last week, and they were phenomenal. Believers, callers, community, if you're on this line, this is the time for you to become a landowner, a property owner. And as Sister Leticia said last week, stop thinking I can't. Stop thinking I don't have. There's plenty of inventory that you do. We all have resources or we wouldn't be alive. Okay, so this is the time for you to consider, and this workshop will help you with the how-tos, how to organize, and it's going to join with the subtopic of providing shelter for God's people, organizing specific trades involved in the development of real estate to accomplish the directive of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to purchase real estate in the Detroit area. Several workshops on the economic blueprint. We're going to be addressing marriage and family. Obviously, this is critical to our survival, the family and marriage. Prayer, the center of Muslim life. There will be a workshop on preparation for Hajj, for going to Mecca and Saudi Arabia. You know, there are things that the pilgrim, the Muslim, and this is one of your pillars of faith, is to make Hajj. And we are going there. And so this workshop is going to begin to assist you in what you need to do to prepare for Hajj. How to eat to live, local sustainable health. This is very critical that we begin to truly follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as it pertains to how to eat to live. And of course, Dr. Ridgely is going to be conducting at least one and possibly more workshops on agriculture and the development of agribusiness. Agribusiness.
That's
because
right.
We have to grow food, and then we have to transport and deliver food to our people, 90-plus percent of whom are in cities.
That's right.
So this is important that you attend these workshops and become knowledgeable. Acquiring the education to build a nation. That's a workshop that was actually put together by our young leaders, the emerging leadership of the nation. And this workshop is going to focus on what type of college or university would you attend if you were going? What type of subjects and curriculum?
Mm.
What should you be majoring in?
As
Minister Farrakhan has been stressing around the country, in terms of developing a strong foundation for implementing Muhammad's economic blueprint. Defending Farrakhan, we're going to host a workshop on the minister, the reality, we must understand that when he, as he has said, when he is under attack, we are under attack. And frankly,
that's right.
All black people are under attack because it's not Louis Farrakhan the person. It's Louis Farrakhan, the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who met God in person. God came to save us, all right, from his enemy. So
this is not
something that where the minister doesn't have a personality that people like. That is not why he's the target. And so any of us with him need to know how to defend him and defend our faith. These are just some of the workshops. Of course, Mother Khadija Farrakhan always puts on something that is such a joy for children and for the parents to be able to have our children there, for the young children. The Children's Village, it's both educational and it is such a joy. They actually have inflatables, they have games, and then, of course, everything at its root is a teaching tool. So that will be taking place as well. And in addition to the powerful film on Saturday evening of Minister Louis Farrakhan, which will be in Wayne Hall. Wayne Hall seats 5,000 people. We're just going to, as my daughters say, turn it up, because this is an aspect of the minister that the public rarely gets exposed to, and even the believers.
That's right.
There's so much complexity and depth to Minister Farrakhan. He is an artist in just ways that are unimaginable. His prowess as a musician, classical violinist, and it's really his life in music. Many people are aware that prior to meeting and hearing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the minister was a sought-after entertainer.
That's right.
And
mm-hmm.
was on his way
That's
to
right.
Hollywood.
That's
and
right.
really could have just lived a luxurious life as an actor and singer, Calypso Louie. He is
right.
exceedingly gifted as an entertainer, as a singer. His voice is incredible. And so as Brother Terrence named all these powerful, famous, some of the most renowned artists of our time have come together with him to
mm-hmm.
make what will soon be released an album. But you are, as Brother Terrence said, you're going to actually see him with these artists in a way that you it's going to blow you away.
That's right.
So that's going to be shown Saturday night. And, of course, Friday night, in addition to AK-47, what we're going to do, and I'll give a shout-out to the Student Supreme Captain for this idea. we want to get into bonding and family because, people, if we're going to do this thing, we gotta think more of each other than we do right now. We have to realize and recognize this is it. You're just like those Seahawks. You know, they didn't draft each other or trade to get each other, but they came together and they realized, look, we're this chosen circle of people, and we're going to learn to establish a brotherhood. Well, when you look to your left and your right in the circle of belief, this is it. This is who's here.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
And Allah has made his choice. We always tell everybody to accept the choice of the minister, but we got to accept Allah's choice of each other as well. And so
That's right.
we need to start really enjoying each other. And so what Brother Mustafa said, let's not have the comedy show in one place and the music concert elsewhere. Let's have it all, let's all go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's
That's
open
right.
up Friday evening with comedy and just stay there into the night, into the music. Because the music concert joins, attracts a certain group, and the comedy. Now, there's some overlap, but for the most part, they're two different kinds of entertainment, but they're equally enjoyable. So you're going to open up Friday night with this extravaganza. And think about it. We will have had Juma, okay? We will have had dinner. We're just going to be on top of the world. We're going to be in this stunning edifice. And we got plenty of room. We're not going to be crowded, and we're going
That's
to
right.
enjoy the most the funniest people who are going to give you clean humor, but it's going
right.
to be hilarious. And then we're going to go into our talent, and along with AK-47 and Brother Jasiri, you're going to have a new AKNU. These
That's
young
right.
brothers are going to
yes.
just blow up the place. They're the ones you saw on X Factor. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to start, you know, Islam, as the minister teaches, brings its own culture with it.
That's right.
And it is not, we're not going to have a white America culture, but we're not going to handle twerking and booty shaking, none of that either. We're going to have, you're going to witness and experience culture in Islam. Islam is taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay, so we're going to start
right.
going. Oh, I think we have our guest on, only because I think I recognize that area code. Is this our scientist, our urban planner?
Assalamu alaikum. It's your brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
So humble.
Brothers
so
and sisters,
humble.
This is the South. West Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our brilliant and beloved brother, Student Minister Robert Muhammad. Welcome back, one of our favorite guests on Elevated Places.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank Allah over and over again for allowing me to have this opportunity to get on these sacred airwaves and to share whatever God puts on my heart and put before us in the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they're serving in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm happy to be with you, Sister Ava.
We're happy to have you. And I've got Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence here, and people already lined up waiting on you. Before we start going to the lines, and of course, the listeners should know by now, and if they don't, we'll school them. But Brother Robert, in addition to being just a fabulous teacher, and has just one of the most productive mosque in the Nation of Islam. It's just incredible when you go down there to Houston. It blows you away.
That's right.
And they work so closely with the youth in the mosque.
That's
right. And I went to the youth conference that they held this summer, and it was magnificent. And I mean, when I say youth conference, they handled this thing.
That's right.
You know, from beginning to end, it's a mosque where the believers are so free to be creative and productive, and I think that's important. But Brother Robert, you know, you're an urban planner, and so that makes you almost like the point person in this hour when it comes to city life. And, you know, we've been talking, we had Brother Kamal on and Sister Letitia last Thursday, and we really are trying to come out of theory into practical application. And so whatever you feel moved to say to the listeners about the realities of us being able to resurrect this city and go in there, and I don't know what kind of timetable it would take, but what would happen if a significant number of us were committed and actually moved into Detroit?
Well, first of all, thank you once again, dear sister. My sister, you like my hero, you know. So I want to make sure everybody knows that. You know, Sister Ava is the kind of sister that if you get stabbed in the back, that means she's dead. You know what I'm saying? Stabbed in the back. No, if you get stabbed in the back, that means Sister Ava Muhammad, they must have got her first. You know,
that's right.
So that I want to, first of all, I want to lay that out. The other thing is that it simply boils down to this. You know, cities are human settlements. They go back to antiquity, where we've gathered together. We've gathered together for different reasons. Sometimes for mutual protection. Sometimes for agriculture. Sometimes if we're living a maritime life, there are many reasons why we form these human settlements. But in this particular case, in the city of Detroit represents, at the time of the coming of Master Farad Muhammad, the economic heart of America. It was the manufacturing base of America. 100 years ago, Henry Ford established, or really started, if you want to know, the middle class. Right there in a place called Highland Park, he actually started the middle class. He decided to pay his workers more than the next man did. He put together, it's not that he invented cars, that automobile was already invented, but he put together an assembly line process that made, again, Detroit the economic engine of America. So the Son of Man came to the heart of the earth. He came to that place and he found who he was looking for.
That's right.
He found the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who of course had left from Georgia. He and his family, as Sister Abel laid out, that migration, the black migration, you need to really look at that. Books for instance, Isabel Wilkerson, called The Warmth of Other Suns, you know, books along that line that tell you, The Promised Land by Nicholas Lehman. These people give you a story of how the people came from the South to the North. Now, one of the reasons why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not like unions is because of the sordid history that Dr. Ridgely and the research team have uncovered in terms of they being made for European immigrants and
right.
not made and made to make sure that black people were knocked out of the craft work. So, of
That's
course,
right.
we don't have a good view of the unions, but again, Detroit is a city that was made by unions, and eventually black people got in those unions, but they didn't like black people because black people came up from the South and they were, quote-unquote, cheap labor that was often used as a pawn in Detroit
That's right.
for against manufacturers. Now, let me kind of fast forward. I'm sorry you asked specifically about Detroit. And
no, I mean, this is fascinating.
Bring that history, brother. Bring that history.
It's starting to rattle really? In my head now. So just trying to give you kind of a thumbnail of Detroit. Detroit is a city that actually, when you look at it, it was one of the most segregated cities in America.
Mm.
And it's 139 square miles. Actually, you could fit Manhattan, San Francisco, Boston. You could fit those cities and their population inside of Detroit. So Detroit is a spread-out city, and most of the people were spread out. There were only a couple of places that black people could live. One of that was, of course, was Black Bottoms, Detroit, and Paradise Valley, and some around Hamtramck. They could live there and a little bit in the south, the southern part of Detroit, but not in a lot of places. White people moved to get away from black folk, and we were segregated and put in specific areas. That Black Bottoms was the place that that Master Fraud Muhammad found his servant. Paradise Valley was where we established our businesses. We had hotels. We had all of those things in Paradise Valley. That's why it's called Paradise Valley. And so now we are here fast-forwarding to the year 2014. During the 80s, we saw the out-migration of Caucasian people escaping from various inner-city. We saw the decline of urban areas. They moved out after the last riot, the riots in the 60s, but they just moved further and further away to get away. And then lo and behold, we found ourselves not only in Detroit, but in Gary, Indiana, Newark, New Jersey, other cities around this country with black mayors because we had a majority black population whose
right.
manufacturing base and tax base had been stolen from them, or I should say removed from them, when these people moved first to the suburbs, and then they moved from the northern and midwestern cities, they moved to the south and to the west, where labor was cheap, where they had right-to-work states, and where they had little or no environmental laws. And then eventually what they did was they deindustrialized America by moving these
That's
plants
right.
overseas.
That's right.
So here we are in a knowledge economy. Here we are in an economy where Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook is worth billions of dollars, but they don't need the same amount of workers as they would if they were running a Ford assembly or Chrysler assembly.
Right.
And so here are black people with a failed educational system. When that tax base went away, not only did our infrastructure crumble, but our educational systems that were based upon the tax valuations crumble. We had integration as a fantasy. I call it integration as fantasy because not only were our children not allowed to go to school with white children, but smart, competent, capable black teachers weren't allowed to teach in those schools.
Hmm.
Integration had benefits for white people, not
That's
us,
right.
for white people.
That's right.
Because when we moved and were allowed to go into those schools, notice that they took our best athletes, and they took our best scholars, they took our middle-class and upper-middle-class black children, and who went with them were our best black teachers.
Precisely. Right.
So,
yes.
So we find that if you look at it, it lasted for a little while, but you start to notice that as you draw concentric circles around these cities, you find that the suburbs, then the outer suburbs became where the championship teams were coming from because our best and brightest were going out there and the cities were decaying or came from within. Now here we are looking at Detroit, bankrupt, Bankruptcy, sisters and brothers, don't mean that Detroit is broke. Bankruptcy means that the creditor's about to get a haircut. That's all bankruptcy means. It means that they got revenue, but somebody's not going to get paid the debts that they owe.
That's what it means.
So let us understand that Detroit is not broke. If Detroit was broke, then the Illich family wouldn't be investing.
Come on.
Gilbert wouldn't be investing with Quicken Loans.
Come on.
You wouldn't have Roger Penske of the Penske Company and Penske Auto investing. You would not have all of these, the United Way, many major philanthropic organizations that are investing money not in the 139 square miles, but they're investing in the downtown and 7.2 square miles of downtown, which includes the medical center and kind of like a technology center that's north of downtown. And that whole downtown is now being recapitalized.
That's the economic blueprint,
brothers and sisters. The economic blueprint. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is hitting the reset button. What we have to do in America is not about, as we say, stacking paper or getting paid. It's not about income. It's about wealth. Today, sisters and brothers, what we've got to do is have a savings, investment, and asset accumulation mindset. And no one of us can do it all alone. Stop looking for Magic Johnson or Oprah Winfrey or Bill Cosby. No. We could put our money together and, in the Athenian Greek, democratize wealth, meaning all of us own it and create cooperatives, whereby we're the owners of the company, therefore we all have a stake in the company, therefore if somebody is sleeping on the job, coming late, we're going to get on them, because why? Your lack of work is affecting all of us, productivity, efficiency, and our profit motive at the end of the year.
We have
to now begin to retool our minds for the 21st century in the Christian context. We have to retool our minds in this first 1,000-year millennium of the Mahdi's coming, because it is now time, because America is just run out of tricks. The old progressive or liberal way, white liberal way, was to have a progressive tax system whereby what they would do is they would tax the wealthy and redistribute the money to the poor and middle class. What the wealthy have done is they have bought the political system whereby they're never going to let that happen again. So we can forget about big government being our big friend. Big labor is going to be less than 5% of the workforce by 2020. So we might as well unite our nickels, dimes, and quarters, democratize the wealth, buy up America, buy up Detroit, buy up Highland Park, buy up all of these cities, buy up the agricultural land, as Dr. Ridgely would, it would be blasphemy not to have said that in a sentence.
That's right.
make sure that we do that so we can feed ourselves. But there are two things we have to do. We have to be blessed in the field. We have to be blessed in the city. So there are some of us that are never going to go on a farm. We just might as well admit that. Some of us are never going to go on a farm. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I would rather pay Dr. Ridgely and the farmers than pay a doctor.
Come on, that's right.
And our medicine is our food. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to get control of what goes in our mouths. And I'm loving you, brothers and sisters, but I know what we're going to do when we come to Detroit. We come there with bow ties and bean pies. I don't mind bow ties and bean ties. I don't mind oils and incense. But what I want us to do is own the land that produces the myrrh and the frankincense and all of that those oils come from, and the incense comes from. I want us to own the land that gets the metal out that makes the clips for the bow ties. I want us to own the cotton or whatever it is, or the silkworms that produce the silk bow ties and the handkerchiefs. I want us to own the cow that produces the milk, the butter, the flour, and all of that makes the bean pies. So I don't mind that it's bow ties and bean pies and oils and incense. But for God's sake, brother and sister, let's do the logistical thing and go through the whole supply chain to where we own everything from the rooter to the tutor, as we used to say when we were all eating that pig.
From the land
well,
of the man.
David, that's
what
my
can
story.
I say except well done?
That's right.
I love it. I love it. I know, Rachel, you love it too.
We're going to go
to the phones. Oh, yes, sir. Go right ahead and make a comment first.
And the main thing is the mind. We got to get our minds together.
Absolutely.
To develop a plan and to have the skills to transform the products to usable the raw materials to the usable materials. There's infrastructure still here in America, even though they took the industry out. There's infrastructure here. There's know-how here. We need to go back into vocational education, learn how some skills so that we can transform things.
Exactly. Well, we've got some callers waiting for us, and we're going to go to one of our favorites. Dr. Salam is on. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh, I'm enjoying this. How's the family?
Oh, great. Yes,
great.
Oh, brother. I've heard this brother on tape before, and I'm just so elated. You're talking about Detroit. I mean, when you look at Detroit, brother, everything you said is just is sitting in the right place. You know, it's between the rivers, and
right.
What's unique about it is the actual motto of the city, the seal. In 1767, I believe, this priest, Father Gabriel Richard, was the one whose words was placed on the seal of Detroit. And the seal is Speramus Malero Resurgit Senoribus, which means we hope for better things. It will arise from the ashes. And surely he couldn't have known that one
right.
day this would. It has to be for us. And when you talk about Medina and when you talk about Mecca, we're living the prophecy that was told long before we ever came.
Mm.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
then for Master Farad Muhammad to come to Medina and Mecca and establish a righteous religion, yes, and a righteous people, and to touch a man who hadn't been tainted by the educational system of America. He had only gone to the third grade, so he wasn't corrupted. He only knew the 3 hours, reading, writing, and arithmetic. All of this is in line. And I want to say more, but I just want to hang up and continue to hear more of this because I needed this evening. And thank you, Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad, for saying we need to do more bonding and getting to know one another because that is so
yes.
truthful. I think there's so
Praise
much talent
Allah.
And so much ability
right.
out here among the believers
right.
that the big I's and little U's still exist in the NOI. And we have to remove that. Because the more that we do, the harder it is for Minister Farrakhan to raise a nation when we are scrambling, then he has to correct us rather than correcting the people that really need correcting. And I just love you all, and I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
And your calls are always filled with wisdom. And to... really, to Dr. Salam's point, but also with what Brother Student Minister Robert just gave us as a synopsis of all that is happening. And I'm just going to lift this quote from Saturday, from The Time and What Must Be Done, from Minister Farrakhan. And he said, scientists, brothers and sisters, are different from the average PhD or Doctor of Philosophy. Scientists have a scientific method of proving or disproving the cause and effect. So scientists are critical in this hour because scientists do not believe in a mystery God. Scientists do not agree with religion. This is the part I love because I've waited for this since I was a 4-year-old in church, and I was like, I ain't feeling this. Okay. scientists do not agree with religion as the world expresses religion, because religion does not withstand a scientific analysis. So science and religion and mathematics and religion are actually one, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. And any religion that does not find congruency with science and mathematics and is not rooted in the universal order of things is a religion that can be considered, as the socialists and communists have said, the opiate of the masses. And so I think that's where we're all going with this discussion, is that, as you said, bean pies and ties is fine, but look, we're not going to be event people for the next century.
More.
Where we just go
More.
From Savior's Day to the Day of Atonement to Savior's Day, oh, the minutes More. Are through down, and I'm walking around with my big Starbucks and greeting people. And, you know, we're not going to do this ad infinitum, okay?
More.
And we've been really blessed not to have any real major confrontation. Right. Because the desire of Master Farad Muhammad is so intense that our suffering
right.
come to an end. He believes we have suffered enough, so we're like spoiled children. And
More.
We get caught up in what hotel we're going to be in and what car we're driving, and we're looking at each other with contempt.
More.
The Levi Stubbs, the lead singer of the Four Tops, before he died, he was asked by his nephew, what was the key to the success of Motown in your mind, Uncle Levi? And he said the key to Motown becoming the legend that it became is that we all wanted each other to succeed. He said when the Temptations got a number one record, we were just as happy as if we got it, and vice versa. Everybody at Motown wanted everybody else to be number one. And as a result, they all were. We just spent half the show talking about the Seahawks. A team. See, the Broncos was all Peyton Manning. That's all you heard.
Come on.
Peyton Manning. I know if I was on the Broncos, I'd be like, well, maybe you should go ahead and get hit. Why am I going to get my ankle broke?
Right.
When all they're going to say is Peyton Manning.
Ooh.
You know, like Stephen Smith, the commentator, said, those Broncos look like deer in headlight. Some of them, he said, literally ran from the football because they did not want the Seahawks defensive team to come at them. It's like a herd of rhinoceros
right.
or something coming at you. You might
That's
not
right.
be able to play next season when they get through with you.
Come on.
And so we have to be desirous of success for one another. Not just me at your expense or you at my expense. But Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So we got to come out of what the white man taught us, and that is the lie that there's not enough of everything. And so we got to keep killing each other. But anyway, I'm off the soapbox.
Well, you know, now we can see why they had to bankrupt Motown if Motown had that spirit of unity as you just suggested. Now we understand
right.
why they went after Detroit, because it was becoming too much of a power because they had a spiritual love power along with money.
You're exactly right. And on that point, I'll get off so the others can talk and we'll get back on the phones. But, you know, you look at all of these European white groups of the 60s, of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, these other groups that were launched into superstardom. Now, prior to those groups coming on the scene, the white culture of America, or the white supremacy structure, pushed Motown to the background, but the music was so profound and it was so captivating that they were gaining and gaining among young whites. But when the Beatles came to America, when the Rolling Stones came, the first thing they said when you put the mic on their mouth is how influenced they were, not only by Motown, but by Little Richard.
Well,
and black artists, who, in fact, Elvis was the white counterpart to Little Richard. You know, they always are attempting to manufacture an artificial version of the real deal. And that is why there was such an obsession with this Peyton Manning being the star of this gathering, because that's all they ever think about, is how we can reinforce the mindset of white superiority and black inferiority. And so that loss on the world stage in front of 100 million people, we can't even calculate how devastating that was.
That's right.
Yep.
You know?
I saw Peyton Manning in the interview they had of him. He was devastated.
Mm. And he looked like he aged on the field.
Yep.
He's older than most of those brothers anyway. And you know, Richard Sherman, who caught so much flack, and then he has introduced something into the stream of conversation. Thug is the new nigger. Okay, you can't say nigger anymore because it's politically incorrect. So now that's in the stream of conversation. Well, in addition to that fact, what has happened is the defeat of Peyton Manning, of their star, has caused a collapse in the bubble of an unreal world.
That's right.
And again, it is a precursor to the real confrontation that is going to be taking place near in the near future, and we haven't even dealt with the weather and all of the records that have been broken this winter, 2013 into 2014. But I'm going to run to the phones again. We have. The Sister Sacred is on the line. Welcome to Elevated Places.
I'm going to say thank you, Sister Ava, and happy Black History Month recognition in honor of Dr. Carter G. Woodson.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Black History Month.
Assalamu alaikum to the family. Assalamu alaikum to the family. Sister Ava, I do have a Save This Day inspiration that I'd like to share, and a question and a challenge to the nation of Islam. On behalf of Dr. Carter G. Wilson, the city of Charlotte is anticipating a proclamation for progress to honor black people as a prevention before punishment. And I want to, Sister Ava, are you there?
Yes,
I am.
We're
here.
Ava.
We're all
here. So I want to suggest to the Nation of Islam, I sent you and Dr. Risley a copy of this email for a Save the Day seminar to have a declaration of 2014 Save the Day Declaration for Salvation and Exodus, to put it in print, to put it in writing, in a format that my children's children would know. If we want to separate and go with Dr. Risley on the farm, we do that, not in theory, but into true application. So I just wanted to see if you would consider that, because it is of the true essence of where we are today, the time and what must be done. So that's what I want to say, and I do leave you. I mean, I don't leave you. And so I'm going to say, please, a declaration for extra salvation, put it in print. We need that, Sister Ava.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Sister Sacred, and thank you for the call. And you're right, it's time to move from theory to application. In reality, in movement, in writing, in every way, shape, or form, it's time for the Exodus.
And Dr. Ava, I just want to jump in here, because something I learned from
of
Dr.
course.
Ridgely is that sometimes we don't realize that which has already been done that we tried to reinvent the wheel in 2005 at the anniversary of the Million Man March. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced the nine ministries. And when he introduced the nine ministries, where he introduced it, in the city that he introduced it, he introduced and he made a declaration of war because he declared that we should have an independent nation by declaring the nine ministries. So the nine ministries have already been declared, stated, recorded, and documented in the city of Washington, D.C. Now we, the stubborn, rebellious children of Israel, need to come out of the wilderness and go into the land of Canaan, and don't worry about the little giants that you think are there because they're like the Wizard of Oz. They're just a short little man behind a curtain, and that's why Minister Farrakhan asked us to watch the time of what must be done, because he is pulling the curtain and exposing the shadow government, and they're not powerful at all, and that's why he has talking about the will, the car, or the calling card of God. So I'm just saying that that declaration has been made. We just have to follow suit. And this is why we're on Elevated Places. And Brother Robert, thank you for hyping me up. I was shouting because I am about to make an exodus to Mecca and plant my feet down on holy ground, which God is serving and setting us up for a new day.
You preaching now, brother. You preaching now.
You start, when you start talking about those nine ministries, brother, see, it is my firm belief, and I will not go ahead of our leader, but I will state this, and I'm allowed. The beautiful thing about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he allows for opinions around his table, and then he synthesizes those opinions and weighs it against what he knows his leader, teacher, and guide has taught him and what Allah guides him, and he takes that advice or he goes in the direction that God guides him, and the Quran says that, you know, listen to them, but once you've decided, go do what you're going to do, O Prophet. So here's the bottom line, though. I honestly don't believe that we can implement, carry out to its fullest extent the economic blueprint unless and until we integrate, and there's the only kind of integration I'll go for, integrate or phase in the ministries. Because
right.
it
on,
is going to require a national effort that goes beyond minister, captain, secretary, sister, captain, protocol, director, lieutenant, squad leader. That is the structure for a mosque, which is, of course, the place that we come and get cleaned up and repaired and then are sent back out. And as Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he did want the mosque to be employment centers. However, brothers and sisters, if you just look at the nine ministries and you begin as an HR director to look at the kind of human resources you would need, for instance, to institute a ministry of agriculture or institute a ministry of technology, science and technology, or institute a ministry of information, you can look at that just in one city, it's 200 or 300 jobs. 200 or 300 jobs. Just look at that. You have to be like Descartes said, you have to think, therefore you are. You have to take on the mindset that's what I am. I'm the Ministry of Education. Okay, will you wait around for somebody to fund your budget? Or you going to go out and do what you got to do to get that thing started in your city? Nobody told you had to ask permission to do good, but you have an obligation because the laborers in your city are going to be questioned by headquarters should anything go awry. They will have to. So have enough common courtesy and respect for your laborers to let them know what you're doing, but go forth in the name of our Father and in the name of the exalted Christ. Go forth in their names and do good works in your city.
Yes.
But I warn you not to go out there and get yourself so far out there where you're in the deep end of the pool where there's no lifeguard on duty and you can't swim. Do not go out there and get yourself in some kind of trouble and then all of a sudden turn around in the mosque. You want the mosque to bail you out when you have got a unit in some Yaphet Kotto Rudy Ray Moore monkey business. Don't do that, brother and sister. Let's call it like it is. You know, sometimes we use the recalcitrance and the hard heart. You know, and what really bothers me sometimes, like we talk about the Ministry of Justice. And the Ministry of Justice sometimes, Sister Ava, if we're talking about, say, our lawyers in our mosque or the lawyers in the nation, that somehow you have to protect the believers against the tyrannical rulership of laborers who throw them out without following the Constitution. Yeah, that's true. But sometimes you got to protect believers from other believers. Because some of us
yes.
straight up in the name of Allah do business in such a way that we have no business ethics. We leave
that's
each
right.
other with threats. We do things. And we know that because we are taught in the Nation of Islam to love one another as brothers, we do things to each other in the mosque that we would never do in the streets because either, one, we sue each other or we bust a cap in one another in the streets.
Come on.
But in
that's
the mosque,
right.
we do all kind of stuff to one another and don't pay people back their money and all of a sudden we don't make no explanation, no accounting, and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And so what I'm saying to us is that first and foremost, we got to have some vertical growth, as the Honorable Louis Farrakhan teaches us in
yes.
self-improvement. We got to be upright. And then
that's
we
right.
be in business and we can do vertical work together. Look, brothers and sisters, the government of Detroit has been overthrown. The elected council and the mayor are titular
Listen.
Leaders. They don't represent, even in this so-called constitutional, what do you think the minister was telling us in the last time of what must be done? That the so-called democracy, or demos meaning people, kratos meaning rule, and the republic meaning that you the representative form of government that we have in America no longer represents us, nor is it the people ruling. It's the shadow
That's right,
government.
Not at
and
all.
And I'll give you
Come
an
on.
Example of what's going on in Detroit. In Detroit, Detroit is being run by private corporations and foundations.
That's right. Mm.
Some names. I'm going to
sure.
name names. Y'all all right?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going to name names because I think you need to know and understand what the heck you're doing. Now, for instance, there is a river walk in Detroit, a very beautiful river walk that's now
right.
being fixed up for the tens of millions of dollars. Well,
right.
it's the Kresge Foundation and the Detroit River Walk Conservancy that
Uh-oh.
Is now fixing up the Riverwalk. And then there's Detroit 300 Conservancy that builds, maintains, and operates the Campus Martyrs Park, which is downtown. And then there's the Community Foundation of Southeast Michigan, which is sponsoring all of the Greenways and whatnot. The Skillman Foundation, it works with neighborhood groups, and C.S. Mott Foundation, it supports urban agricultural initiatives. The Eastern Market Corporation operates that Eastern Market there. The Detroit Institute of Arts and the Detroit Historical Museum and other functions which were once run out of City Hall. The Greening of Detroit organization is working to put in effect forestry and plant trees in Belle Island and throughout the city. The Roger Penske led the Downtown Detroit Partnership that is doing street cleaning duties as part of the Clean Downtown Initiative. And let me stop right there. There is about 3.3 miles of, not light rail, but a trolley system that's being introduced in downtown Detroit. And I'm going to tell you something. They raised nearly $120 million of private funds to build it. So it's not the FDA that's funding it. It's actually private corporations and the finances
yes.
that they got. Now, how can a city be broke and they raise $120 million to put in a three-mile trolley system that only covers downtown? Let me continue. Y'all ain't mad at me, is you?
Oh, no.
You know?
Oh, no. But you know
so
what, brother?
The Detroit Economic Growth Corporation is an outside agency that reports to the mayor but also has its own board and staff. And during the Riverwalk project, that DEGC and its president negotiated the removal of cement silos that had long dominated the eastern riverfront, and they fixed up the roads and the infrastructure in that district, and it was the Kresge Foundation, General Motors, and nonprofit Riverfront Conservancy that also took leading roles. Now, there's a man named Rick Rapson. He's the president of the Kresge Foundation there. And what he has done is he's one of the leaders in all of this that's going on there. Now look, these aren't necessarily, you don't have to say that these are evil people. We don't even have to call it a conspiracy. Let's just call it an understanding. These people have an understanding that if Negroes make up the majority of the population and we're in a Republican form of government, meaning they can elect people who represent them, then what we're going to do is we're just going to build an alternative form of government, and we're going to rule
exactly.
in that manner. So when Luther tells you that there's a shadow government, this isn't necessarily the shadow government, But the money, where this money comes from is the shadow government.
That's
so,
right.
Sisters and brothers, God has set us up for a battle. And I think that if we really knew what he was doing, he's kind of blinded us. We're kind of still asleep, most of us. And we really
That's
don't
right.
see where God is leading us, because if God showed us exactly the battle we would have to fight and the victory that's on the other side of the battle, many of us would probably turn away. If it was a near gain and a short journey, they'd have been with you, Muhammad. No, sisters and brothers, we're going to have to take on the Roman government. We're going to have to take on Heraclitus and the Roman government. We're going to have to take on this government for the soul of our people. Detroit, brothers and sisters, to understand it, is indeed our Mecca. Chicago is indeed Medina. Detroit represents Mecca because Mecca was a mercantile city based upon the merchants that waxed rich from the pilgrimage and servicing the pilgrims that came to the Kaaba even before the rise of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Chicago is to Medina as Medina was the agricultural and an agrarian type of setup that was there. So if you look at the Chicago Board of Exchange, that is where they deal with commodities, pork bellies, and the price of beets and the price of potatoes and gold and coal and other things like that, where the capital market is in New York. The commodities market is there in the Midwest. Chicago is the gateway to the West and the funnel to the East. So we must understand that the reason why the western border of Illinois is 60 miles higher than the eastern border is because when they surveyed that whole Northwest territory that came with the Northwest Ordinance, Thomas Jefferson and them surveyed it, they actually made the border of Illinois parallel or straight across, just like Indiana's is. But the money people from New York wanted to make sure that they had access to the canals that would come off of Lake Michigan, so they raised the western border of Illinois up to where it meets up there with Wisconsin, and therefore they would have access by digging canals, because canals was the way before the railroad that they moved men and materials. So we have to understand that Mecca and Medina, Chicago and Detroit are exactly we're talking in the Middle East, we're talking the Middle West. Brothers and sisters, Allah is God, Muhammad is his messenger, and we're the people who are fulfilling scripture in all of it, and I can prove it in no limit of time. This ain't no spookism. God is a man. He came in person. He raised up the exalted Christ. We're fulfilling Muhammad of Mecca and Medina, the two-thirds and the one-third of the Holy Quran. We're living the whole New Testament, Old Testament out in real time. So let us wake up and let us mount up on wings of faith, brothers and sisters, and support this economic blueprint and wake up from this kind of lethargic sleepwalk that we're in. And I'm pleading with you, brothers and sisters, with all that's in me, that what Allah has blessed me to see studying this white man's urban planning, all the evil that he has done in his urban renewal programs and running highways through our communities and through the wicked use of eminent domain and redlining and zoning and all the wicked things that he used to manipulate us and keep us from better utilizing and building a sense of community. Allah has put your brother in the midst of that, and we've got enough talent around the nation that if we just pull together behind the plan of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his job is to tell us what to do. Our job is to get it done, and I'm ready to get with Sister Ava and Dr. Ridgely and all the brothers and sisters. They are architects. They are civil engineers. They are construction managers. There's all kind of people. They're bankers. They're people doing finance. They are believers in the Nation of Islam that are serving white people right now, making millions of dollars or managing millions of dollars. But we got brilliant minds like Brother Cedric Muhammad.
That's right.
Know, the black economist, we have
monetary
everything we need. We have everything we need except for the fact that many of us are caught up in a charismatic character cult. We're trying to part our hair like Minister Farrakhan, walk like Minister Farrakhan, get our nails on our cuffs like Minister Farrakhan, trying to drive what he drives, wear the shoes he used, trying to talk like him, walk like him, instead of trying to replicate the character of the man as a reflection of the God that backs him. Brother and sister, look, man, I'm through with this stuff. There's no Robert but Robert. Robert is the best Robert that Robert's going to be. Ava is the best Ava that Ava's going to be. Ridley is the best Ridley Ridley's going to be. Ain't another one like any of us. Why don't we just accept our own and be ourselves and then come together and understand that there's no God but Allah, meaning that that central supreme being is the mind that we all operate from. And when you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your being, your will, there's no room for your ego. Your ego dies and God lives in you, so that when God walks, you'll walk. When God talks, you talk. And when you raise your arms, that's God raising his arms. When you slay your enemies, that's God slaying your enemies. And when you build this new world, it is God who's building a new world through you and my hand. That's it.
Amen.
Whew. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just thank Allah I was able to keep up with him. This man needs to be explaining things to us in classroom format. We need to learn.
Oh, my. Well, he getting his first class student as soon as we hang up on this call.
Well, this is why we have elevated places.
Yes.
This is why. Because, you know, again, as my brilliant brother just said, it's nothing spooky here. So how do we go from point A to B? How do we even manifest what we have? It's through forums like this that Allah reveals us to one another. You see, and actually what occurs psychologically that we have been robbed of is this understanding that when people who are of like mind and like kind come together, it actually elevates your sense of self. So this is that's the other reason white people live in a segregated reality, because it helps them feel superior when they don't encounter any black people on the real. Someone said recently on Fox that America was better when white people were united back in the 50s. They said the reason 1950s America was so awesome is that white people were all together in their thinking. And so, the implication, not implication, but direct meaning of that is, see, all these black people.
Come on.
Being allowed to infiltrate all of our fields of endeavor is breaking us up. And it is because of all the things that Brother Robert just said. We have all that we need, and we have got to begin devising exit strategies.
That's
we got to ask ourselves every day when we go to a job, am I facilitating, am I lengthening the white man's longevity? Am I giving him another day? This is real. Master Farah Muhammad came to take us away from them so that they'll collapse.
That's right.
And the ones we're that want to fight, he got something for them. And that's what the minister is telling us and telling them. This is the last fight at the gunfight at the OK Corral. And so Brother Robert is showing us through this fabulous history and even down to the geography. And I thought about Brother Jabril, Brother Robert, when you were talking. He talked about knowing the landscape.
That's right.
You know, we're talking about territory and all that. But have we ever even studied geography? Do we read? Do we pay attention? You know, we're going to Detroit. But all we think about is the Marriott. We should think about owning and building everything, as you just said, for ourselves. It's nice to go in a restaurant, but it's better when it's your own restaurant. You know, when we hosted the last time the laborers came in, and we had the meeting, Brother Robert, remember, at the Salam, and that's what made it such a great gathering. is that we were in the Salaam. When Muhammad Mosque number 3 came to Chicago a couple of weekends ago and brought the pioneers from Milwaukee, two busloads. Brothers and sisters whose families go all the way back to 1935, being in the nation. One sister, her grandfather was in the nation and came in under the voice of Master Farrar Muhammad. Her grandfather went to prison with the messenger. They didn't call him the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They called him Big Brother. He stocked groceries in the store with them. They went to his house all the time. In the 1940s, a brother married a lost found sister, and the sister owned a television. And the FOI said, because we didn't even go to the movies then, the Muslims, and the FOI told the brother, you can't have a television. That's like having the movies at your house. And the brother said, the woman owned it when I married her. That's my wife's television. And they said, tell her it's got to go. He told her, she said, I am not getting rid of my television. And that was like owning a Bentley or a Rolls Royce back then. And so they said, get rid of her or get rid of the TV. So they told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about this brother, because they're going back and forth to Chicago, and I think the minister told him, somebody told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about it, and he said, he's got a television. Bring that brother to Chicago. And y'all come with him. So they go to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's home, and Mother Clara answers the door. Come on in. Welcome. As-salamu alaykum. He's in the den. And she points them back, and they go in the back, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is sitting there watching television.
That's right.
And he proceeds to tell them what an incredible innovation this is, because now I can get the news right away. See, it's Brother Robert said, there's nothing spooky, and that's why I read the minister's words of what any religion that does not find congruency with science and mathematics is the opiate of the masses. It's heroin. It's opium. Well, it puts you to sleep.
That's right.
Like the brilliant actor that just died, overdosed, and they found 50 bags of heroin in his apartment. It takes you out of here. That's what religion does. If you cannot match your religion to logic, to science, and that is why this whole idea that Jesus was born of a ghost has got to come out of black people's heads. Because that same craziness, that's what leads a black woman to walk down the street in January and February in Chicago with some tights on, calling them clothes. See, the white man make you so crazy, you call underwear clothing.
That's right.
You shop at Walgreens for your wardrobe, the queen of the planet Earth, out here with tattoos and your chest out. That's insanity. 90 seconds, oh my God. Well, brother, Mr. Robert, Dr. Ridgely, Flight Lieutenant Terrence Muhammad, Sister Rona, Brother Bobby, Sister LaDonna, WVON team, Brother Ashad, Sister Valerie, Brother Timothy, everybody, love you all. It's Detroit. That's what's on the radar. So inshallah, we'll be back next week for the final pre-Savior's Day show. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, and I'll be speaking at Mas Mariam, Allah willing, this Sunday. If you're not in Chicago and want to tune in, then 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org. Thank you all. And don't forget the time and what must be done. As-salamu alaykum.
That's right.
Wa alaykum salam.
Thank you for listening to
participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.